Welcome all to month 9 Investbill ETO briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of September to the 30th of September 2023. Hopefully you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the credit group. Firstly, we will look at a trade finance originator and have a refresh on the core principles credit was built on. Next, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. There will also be our monthly segments on the Seaborne reports and any updates on the European and global economies. And after, we will look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it and some updates on credit. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to Stephen, who is a member of our trade desk.
Thanks for that, Ruby. So today's trade desk piece, we'll be talking about an originator we have not discussed before, but you should be familiar with our ATR Lease Finance. So in line with previous presentations, the trade desk section will focus on our most noteworthy ETR trade, which occurred within the last month, and by doing so, demonstrate how investable funds are being utilised. In this month's briefing, we'd like to shine the light on an existing originator who is a leading player in the marine support sector. The company has offices based around the world and initially joined the exchange in 2021, availing of ATR asset refinancing, and has allowed them to continue their growth, grow their business in the Gulf States, catering for the marine services required in the oil, gas exploration sector. They currently own 3 vessels and charter another 3 to 6 vessels at any given time. These are multi-purpose ocean-going vessels, and Credet currently holds ownership over 1 and soon to be 2 through our sale and leaseback model. To recap on this type of finance, an originator sells their vessel to Credet. We then lease the vessel back to the originator, who handles the day-to-day operations. This model enables our clients to unlock working capital and, in the case of this month's presentation, frees up funds that can be used as a deposit in the purchase of a 4th vessel. As you may recall in previous briefings, ATR asset finance involves Credet taking full legal ownership of the asset, ensuring investor funds are secure in the marketplace. Our purchase to value, or PTV, ratio is typically 60% of the value of the asset. As you can probably understand, acquiring a vessel involves not only Credet's in-house skills and expertise, which we've acquired since 2021, but also involves third-party legal engagement with our Greek-based legal partners, providing guidance ensuring clean title, non-encumbrance on the vessel. They take care of drafting of the lease agreements, vessel registry, assignment of funds, and ensuring seamless transfer of ownership. The transfer of ownership involves obtaining multiple certificates, memorandum of agreement, class status reports, reviewing of the past 24 months of vessel employment, survey reports, bill of sales, insurance assignments, and of course we have our own standard AML KYC checks, which everybody should be familiar with. When all these specific requirements have been met, we arrange a virtual close meeting where legal documents are executed by parties before any investable funds are released. In advance of these close meetings, and similar to all ETRs, we ensure assignment of proceeds have been established, where we issue change of bank requests to charter parties, and once accepted, notice of assignments are then issued, reaffirming our working relationship. This sees monthly charter party income being received directly into Credet's bank account, and it's usually 5 times the monthly lease repayment amount. Extensive due diligence is also required on the originator company before Credet is willing to consider proceeding with a facility of this nature. This involves analysing the company's financial statements and conducting AML KYC checks on directorship and ensuring compliance with Credet's internal policies. In this month's ATR example, we were delighted to discover our existing originator wish to enter a second ATR facility, and Credet Finance was meeting our clients' needs. As a significant amount of due diligence had already taken place, this meant writing the new business would progress in a shorter time frame than their initial trade. The first trade involved sale and lease back of a vessel would age your asset value worth 1.7 million euro. In this transaction, the purchase payment or purchase to value PTV was set at 50%, meaning Credet had funded half the original asset value amount. This arrangement proved highly successful, and the vessel is currently engaged in steady charter employment off the coast of Saudi Arabia. Due to the positive outcomes of this trade, our client expressed interest in entering another ATR arrangement. This subsequent trade was of a higher value, but still adheres to the same procedures, with Credet mandating the income generated from a charter hire flowing directly into Credet's bank account. With ATR facilities that involve vessel purchasing, we look to an independent valuation of the asset. However, this is not our sole basis under which we make our determination. We review this in conjunction with the employment history of the vessel and time since its last special survey, which is mandatory to be carried out every 5 years. On this occasion, the third-party valuers estimated the second vessel should have a sale price of between 4.2 to 4.4 million US dollars based on a fair market price and on recent ship characteristics, ensuring there are no unrepaired damage and the vessel is free of any liens and encumbrance. These factors were taken into consideration, and based on Credet's own due diligence, we reduced the vessel's asset value to 4.2 million US dollars. Due to this valuation, it was agreed the second trade would have an ATR asset value of 2.1 million euro with a term of 36 months and takes PTV into consideration, ensuring our purchase price is protected, meaning a maximum exposure on this originator is now just shy of 2.5 million euro. Following our recent review of the application, TradeDesk produced a Credet paper on the second facility, which could be described as a very detailed SWOT analysis. This covers strengths, weaknesses, and other more specific areas like vessel repayment capacity and our client's ability to secure employment, be it time chartering or CP agreements. Credet papers are reviewed by all three members of the TradeDesk team and must be approved by the Treasury Department before we proceed with the intended offer. This considers what-if scenarios and sets out ways Credet can mitigate risks and could involve the signing of insurance policies. The current trade is an anchoring handling vessel built in 2012 and presently located off the coast of UAE on time charter to Larsen Toubro Arabian LTA, who is an Indian multinational engaged in EPC projects and services. We also subscribe to Purple Tracker, which monitors vessels' whereabouts and provides real-time information on vessel routes, accurately pinpointing their location wherever they are in the world. And naturally, Credet vessels are only employed in unsanctioned territories and waters. I will now pass you over to George so he can discuss some of the potential transactions DealDesk are exploring and will hopefully happen in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen, and good afternoon, everyone. So it's been a highly fruitful few weeks on the DealDesk, and as is generally the case, we are currently speaking to some very good quality international originators. However, interestingly, we have had some good quality leads come to us from closer to home as well. One such originator is based in the United Kingdom, and they sell office supplies and paper products online in the United Kingdom. This company has over 5 years' experience, and they carry a large selection of different types of paper products with well-known brands such as Navigator, HP, Canon, and Xerox. Their product range includes paper products such as carbon and tracking paper, colored paper, cards, copy and printer paper of all sizes, as well as specialty paper. They also provide paper boxes. I, for one, was astounded by just how many different types of boxes paper boxes one company can provide. Their range includes Amazon shipping boxes of all sizes, office archive boxes with handles of varying sizes, book wrapping boxes, flat pack house removal boxes, PayPal mailing boxes, golf club and umbrella boxes, fully assorted removal kits for home movers, Royal Mail large letter boxes, Royal Mail small parcel boxes, wardrobe garment boxes, and white postal boxes. In addition to this, they provide a wide range of protection items, such as plastic air pillow cushioning, bubble pouches, bubble wrap, corrugated paper rolls, edge and corner protection in both cardboard and foam, foam wrap rolls, plastic furniture protection, and polystyrene sheets. Another very interesting originator, who is again even closer to home, this is a cattle exporter based in Mullingar in Westmead. This company was founded in 2014, and they specialize in international livestock transport. All vehicles and partners used are ultra-modern, with current legislation and in tune with international livestock transport attitudes. All types of livestock are catered for and are also monitored through satellite tracking and trace monitoring. They guarantee the shortest sea crossing with modern systems to the highest welfare standards of larger consignments of animals. The fleet is modern and developed from years of experience gained in handling livestock for breeding and production over many years. They have proven systems ensuring the highest animal welfare and food safety standards are observed and integrated into the operational and quality management practices. The opportunity we have for this current originator concerns the shipping of cattle to Algeria. Generally, they have dealt with Libya. However, they have made a company decision to move away from Libya and to deal with Algeria. As you may or may not be aware of, Algeria is a very difficult country to deal with, and this originator is looking for a settlement of a letter of credit to the value of 2.15 million euro. They previously shipped to Algeria in 2018 and 2019, but haven't since then. Board BIA has recommended two banks in Algeria to deal with, Banque d'Exterie d'Algérie and Bank Development Algeria. They are looking for a company that can pay suppliers and then be paid by settlement of a letter of credit. So moving to more international territory then, we are in discussions with a very interesting company based in Bangladesh that sells supermarket equipment that they purchase from China and Turkey, and then they sell to customers in Africa and the Middle East. So this company specializes in designing, manufacturing, and supplying a wide range of high-quality products tailored to meet the needs of the food industry, but specifically that of supermarkets. Their range includes shelving systems, refrigeration units, commercial-grade kitchen appliances, and food processing machinery. Other items include shopping hand baskets, wheel-type shopping baskets with handles, metal platform trolleys, carton hand trolleys, large metal bins, metal trolleys, stainless steel platform trolleys. They have a state-of-the-art cold storage solutions as well, such as cold rooms for frozen meat and fish. They have cold rooms for fruit and vegetables and air cooling refrigeration condensers. This is a very well-known and respected company, known for its durability, efficiency, and adherence to industry standards. So lastly, as we have discussed livestock export from Ireland earlier, I'd like to share some interesting information on this subject, which you may find interesting. The value of Irish livestock exports grew by 8% in 2022 to reach an estimated 230 million euro. There were approximately 287,000 head of live cattle exported, which represents a 16% increase. This was driven by higher numbers of calves and weanlings traded. However, there were fewer exports of more valuable stored animals and finished cattle, particularly in Northern Ireland. So rest assured, we will be monitoring this field and looking with enthusiasm to see what further opportunities may arise for us in the future in the field of exportation of livestock. So thank you very much for your time, everyone. It's been a pleasure. And back over to you now, Ruby.
Thanks, George. As always, it's nice to hear about some of the deals that you and Deal Desk are looking at. And hopefully in the future, we will be discussing some of these deals in our trade section of the briefing. As discussed before, Credit will continue to keep an eye on what's going on in the world when looking to write new business. Trades that are significant in today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. Looking at the seaborne reports that cover the major activities affecting shipping and the economy, we see that the Israeli-Hamas war has caused a lot of focus on increasing risks for all financial markets, as investors around the world wait to see if the conflict will cause issues globally, with potential to further increase oil prices and deal a fresh blow to the world economy. Although there is a lot of uncertainty around this, the US Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, said it was too early to speculate on the economic effects of this conflict and the impact it would have, depending on whether the conflict spreads to wider regions. Currently, Credit has no direct exposure to the key countries involved in the conflict, and we continue to monitor events and look for any potential spread to other countries in the region. So staying on the topic of oil, following previous briefings, I discussed the increase in price caps on Russian oil and the surge in China's oil imports. Russia has lifted the temporary ban of fuel exports last week that was put in place at the end of September, which temporarily banned most exports of gasoline and diesel to cope with the domestic market shortage. Russian exports of gasoline and cross-border supplies of diesel by rail and road are still prohibited, meaning that exports can only be delivered to different ports by pipeline. We see that in the US, the Energy Information Administrations, or the EIA, has forecasted that oil outputs from top oil-producing regions are set to fall for a third month in a row in November to its lowest since May. The EIA data showed that the US oil output is expected to fall to 9.5 million barrels per day in November, reduced from 9.6 back in October. Oil outputs in Texas and New Mexico, the biggest US oil basin, is expected to fall by around 30,000 barrels per day to 9.9 million barrels, to 5.9 million barrels, the lowest recorded since February of this year. So to finish off this section, Seaborne's reports once again hold steady their figures regarding the changes to the global fleet, with both the Handymax and the Panamax set to lose over 15% of their fleet in the next 5 years, with their future order book not sufficient enough to replace this loss. So if we look to the Baltic Index, it seemed to be a positive month for September. It began the month slightly dropping but holding rather steady below the previous month at 1,070. And this continued to level out for the start of the month before reviving mid-month, soaring to over 1,370. This rise did not stop throughout September and continued to increase towards the end of the month, which we also saw back in February of this year. The month ended at 1,743 and has continued this trend so far, currently sitting at 1,949 as of today. Although the Baltic Index has been climbing, the FFA markets have slightly dipped since our last briefing. The current spot price is $12,800, which is slightly lower than last month's, which stood at $13,250. Looking into quarter one of 2024, it has dropped as per last month's briefing at $9,200, and quarter two of 2024 shows a gradual increase to the FFA markets at $11,650. This fall in prices could be due to Europe's current global economy, as the international monetary funds are forecasting a 3% increase in 2023, which is down from 3.5% last year. It is stated that this decline in growth can be due to the long-term consequences of COVID, Russia's war in Ukraine, and inflation. An added factor which may cause this number to further decline is the Israeli war. But as we discussed, there is a lot of focus on the Israeli war as investors worldwide are apprehensive of the impact and the disruption it may have on exports around the world. The IMF reports have estimated that the economic activity around the world will decrease to 1.5% in this year, down from 2.6% in 2022. We saw the effects of this last month as the annual rate of inflation increased again in September to 6.4%, compared to the annual rate of 6.3% back in August. The main causes of the rise were due to increased interest and oil prices. We saw last week that the price of oil increased after the blast at the Gaza hospital, causing concerns about global oil supply disruptions. Brent crude oil increased the price of a barrel to over 2%, while West Texas Intermediate crude increased theirs by 2.1%. Inflation in the UK has unexpectedly held steady for the month of September at 6.7%, as rising fuel costs offset the fall in food prices in 2 years. The annual inflation stayed unchanged from August's reading, raising questions over the Bank of England's next decision on the interest rates in November, with economists forecasting a slight fall to 6.6%. Paul Dales of Capital Economics stated that as it is still below the 6.9% rate that the Bank of England projected back in August, we still think that the bank won't raise interest rates again. Although there was no change in the rate this month, economists said that inflation was still on track to fall below 5.1% by December, which would meet Rishi Sunak's pledge to have this rate this year, hopefully with many other countries following suit. Moving on to China's economy, this grew in quarter three by over 4.9% in comparison to last year, indicating that demand for oil in the world's second largest economy may push higher. According to Moody's analytic economist, Harry Murphy Cruz stated that by September, it's likely guaranteed that China will hit around 5% growth this year. Their economy, as we all know, has been knocked by a combination of factors, but it's showing signs of stability thanks to monetary incentives and measures supporting the property market. A decrease in consumer prices has been avoided for now, although domestic demand continues to be patchy and exports are adding a slight increase. It is forecasted that quarter four of 2023 will grow to about 5.3% compared to the rate in quarter two of 2%. Sheng Lian, the Deputy Commissioner for the National Bureau of Statistics, stated the performance so far this year has laid a strong foundation. This is very encouraging news overall because in previous briefings, there was a strongly held concern that China could slide into a recession that would impact the rest of the world. So let's hope these figures are true and can be avoided by the Chinese government. Now, for the last section, I'll discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 54.5 million euro with 58.5 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index has returned to the norm of 68, which is still in the average range that we expect to see. The trading figure for the month was 19.68 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilised. Treasury performance did increase for the second month in a row to 15.25 million euro for the month nine. And the exchange's performance continues to jump ahead of all prior years by 11%. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from the likes of the HSE and EKFB. At the top of the list is our two mining debtors involved with HS2, Balfour Beatty and Skanska Costain, with a new debtor joining the exchange, Wisdom Consultants. This is Wisdom's first month at the top of the list, with Balfour Beatty being its eighth month in a row and Skanska's ninth, being the two largest holdings on the exchange. EKFB makes another appearance this month with the HSE and Lancashire County Council, and Volkswagen has been added this month to the top 10 rated, along with Aggregate Industries, who's also representing as our mining trade. Our donut graphs show a wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, construction and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones, as well as new debtors being added monthly. EKFB, Aggregate Industries and Midland Quarries are example of some of our companies representing the construction section. And these graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed by credit. If we look to the performance sector, we see that month 9 in 2023 compared to month 9 in 2022 had increased to 25.2%, with 19.6 million euro traded for September of 2023. This is compared to 15.7 million euro that was traded back in September of 22. Volumes improved this month at 21.1% as the value to volume ratio increases in line with higher value and quality traded ETORs. Investor redemptions were at a low this month at 58,000 euro. And the credit index fell to 68, which was a significant fall from last month at 86. And unlike the last briefing, our largest trade was a shipping trade this month at $3.4 million US dollars. Our trade section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand fixed and term rates. As you will all know from previous months, we have increased our investable rates on offer for the three products. And with Bank of Ireland's increased deposit rates and the increasing rates from the European Central Bank, we will continue to monitor the market. So if banks continue to increase their rates, we too will continue to increase ours so that your investors retain the advantage of investing with us. Our rates currently now stand at demand at 4.25%, fixed at 5% for 12 months and term at 19% at the end of the 36 months. This section further shows how demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With a combination of the new rates and exchange traded securities, with which many of you have discussed with Patrick over the last couple of months, it's predicted that this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 54.5 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for September 2023.